In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, I don't know about you, but it certainly has been an interesting week for me. There has been a lot going on all fronts. And that actually kind of colors today's sermon. We have the classic reading for the Good Samaritan, right? How we are to act towards others. Now, it's been gone through and talked about. Jesus was a socialist. As aspects of socialism. But let me paint a little different picture for you. And this should bring it home. Right now, in France, who has free healthcare, who has aspects of a socialist regime, has a young man laying in a hospital bed who is a quadriplegic. France, in its wisdom, has decided that for the good of the community, they're not going to feed him anymore. This is a man who, in all other aspects, is in good health. They have now said, not only are we going to kill you, but we're going to let you starve. No help, no assistance. If you look at the story actually makes note of the fact that when this young man was told this, he wept bitterly. That's socialism. For the good of the community, you will do what we tell you to do. That's not Christ. The antithesis to that, the Christian aspect of that is saying, fine, you don't want to feed him? I will. Do you understand? That is what the lawyer came to Christ to actually do, right? To trip him up. Talked about the law. What do I have to do to get into heaven? Nod, wink, wink. Well, what does the Ten Commandments say? And he gives the summary of the law. There are only two parts to the Ten Commandments. Many of them deal with our relationship with God, and the rest of them deal with our relationship with one another. They're commandments. You follow me, you follow my ways. These are the things that you have to keep. These are what you have to keep in your mind. These are the things that you have to do. The lawyer, being sneaky, as many lawyers are, say, but who do I actually have to do it to? Do I have to do it to people that are Gentiles? Do I have to do it to people that are Samaritans? Do I really have to do it to people that live a country away and are languishing in a bed, starving to death? Who is my brother? Who is my neighbor? Do you get that trip up? That is the whole point of this Good Samaritan story. It is also the point of who actually goes to hell. Let me give you a little bit of kind of break down how this would have worked. You had Jews. You had Gentiles. You had Samaritans. If you don't traffic with Gentiles, you sure don't traffic with Samaritans. You know what they were? Half-breeds. It was a mingling of Gentile and Jewish blood. That's why the point is so strong in the gospel, where the priest passes by, whoa, I don't want anything to do with that. I never saw a thing. I'm just going to go over here, and you're good. That's fine. Same thing with the Levite, who also was a religious class. Then you have a Samaritan who counts for nothing. Notices the man and hurries up to him. What happened to you? What can I do to help? It wasn't a government that compelled him to do it. It wasn't a society. There was nobody around him. The Samaritan knew what he was. He saw another broken and bleeding human being, and there was no thought save one: I have to help. I can't pass by. I have to help. Of the three who followed the Ten Commandments, the priest who told everyone what to do, the Levite who was a well-respected leader, or the lower-than-dirt human being that nobody should even talk to. Do you get it? The priestly class is the same class that in France is saying, you're a quadriplegic. You have no rhyme or reason to be in our society anymore. You're a drain. So you're going to starve. Not even having the mercy to kill him quickly. I hear things like this, both inside and outside the church, and it flat out terrifies me. I'm a good person, but you're not like me, so buddy, buckle up. That's not even human, let alone Christian. I do not wish the person who has done me the most wrong in this world that kind of trouble. Can everyone else say the same? Bishop Little has a wonderful story about this. And it has stuck with me for forever. He's talking about doing his visits, right? He had people that were in the hospital. He's going up and he talks about what it is to be a priest or a bishop. You know, you go into the hospital and you walk in and those people are privileged to have you there. So he goes in, you know, and he sets up his little altar and everything else. He's getting ready to do Eucharist. He lifts it aside, and there's a tray of food. And it stops him cold. And he said, he turned to the person he was seeing. Have you eaten yet? They were too weak to eat. Bishop Little, like many priests, myself included at times, goes rushing in to give the Eucharist because we think that's the most important thing. And it is the most important thing, but it doesn't mean anything if that's all that there is. Bishop Little talks about that story and he continues on and says, I fed it. I helped him eat. It was the most moving experience he had. One of the things that Bishop Little began to look for when he goes into hotel rooms. Okay. Actually, Father Phelps would say it's a hotel room, but nobody else would. when he goes into a hospital room, he always looks to see if there's food there, and he always asks if they've eaten. Now, in the hustle and bustle, it's easy to forget that, but that story has stuck with me so much that that is one of the things that I look for when I go visit people in the hospital. Oftentimes, that's what I ask them. As a matter of fact, just this past week with Nancy Hilgstadt actually passing away and going up to see the family and everything else, one of the things that I reminded them was that you need to eat, you need to drink, you need to take care of yourself. Be attentive to that, especially towards one another. It's very easy to miss. Very easy to forget, forego. Who is the Good Samaritan? Is it France that offers free health care to all? Or is it somebody who looks at the story with compassion and wants to do something more than what's being done? When we begin to decide the fate of people based on human law and indifference built into it, we're not being the Good Samaritan, let alone being Christian. Simply this. The story of the Good Samaritan is to show, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Christianity is a faith that is not in line with the world, but is, in fact, in constant battle against it. It is us risking things to do that most people will not do. It is the saints that during the time of the Black Plague went into areas affected knowing that they would probably die. It is the people that went to AIDS patients when AIDS first broke out, not knowing how it was spread. It is the people going to leper colonies. It is people going into war-torn areas offering aid. It is being something outside of yourself and bigger than you can imagine. It's not socialism. It's not democracy. It's not monarchy. It's not anarchy. It has nothing to do with government. It is God. And God alone. We live and move and have our being by the Creator that bore us out of His imagination. Created a wondrous and diverse people across the globe. It is the only authority and the ultimate authority that we have as Christians. It is what causes us to be the Good Samaritan, to walk along the road and take care of those that are not like us, not a part of us. It is how we function. Nothing to do with government. Nothing to do with dictators, tyrants, presidents, kings. Nothing to do with leaders. the only person that should determine the man's life that's the quadriplegic is the man. Lest you think otherwise, what would they have done with Stephen Hawking? And what did Stephen Hawking do for the scientific community? What could this man do that we'll never know? And we'll never know because there wasn't a good Samaritan to fight for him.